welcome to College Street Baptist Church's online service on this beautiful Sunday of March 22nd. My name is Ray Conway. I'm the Minister of Music and Worship here at College Street. Thank you for joining us, our family, our friends from all over the country, we understand. So thank you. We just want to be here for you and any kind of need you have. You need to contact us, please feel free to contact our office, me, any of our staff members. We want to be here for you during this time. Thank you. At this time, Lauren Benningfield, our Minister of Students, will come up and make some important announcements. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, all. Just wanted to send out a few reminders. First of all, as a reminder, all of our services and other on-campus activities are suspended for the time being. We'll be sure to let you know when those will resume. Don't forget that you can still turn in your tithe. You can turn it in by our church office, which is right next door to our church building. You can also call a staff member or your deacon to receive your tithe. Be sure to do that if you can, or you can give online, and we have instructions online on our website, collegestreetbaptist.org, about how to do that. Tune in each Sunday at 10 a.m. for our online service throughout this time. Children, be sure to tune in to our C Street Kids Facebook page, facebook.com/C Street Kids, throughout the week for announcements, online activities, and other fun things. Parents, be sure that you're signed up for our text service through Remind to get those reminders as well. For a note for our community, our food bank will continue to remain open, but it will be a drive-through service Mondays and Tuesdays from 10 to 1. Instead of going to our food bank building adjacent to the church, you'll turn in and they'll have instructions for that for you. We're planning to be on YouTube Live next week, which will not require an account sign-in or any kind of sign up like that. You'll just be able to tune directly in, and we'll have instructions for you in the next few days about how to access that as well. We would like to start off our service with a time of prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for this new opportunity that we have to reach people. I thank you that church is not a building. I thank you that a church is your people gathered together from all over the place. And we just thank you that we have the opportunity, that we have the technology to do that, that you've given us the means and the abilities to learn things and be able to put this together for our people. I pray for our world throughout this crisis that people will come together, that they'll help when they can help, they can love when they can have the opportunity to show love to their neighbor, to their friends, to their family. I pray that all of those that are making decisions for us right now, from our county offices to our national and state offices, that you'll just give wisdom to all of our leadership, that they will make choices that will help our nation throughout this time. I pray for people that are tuning in right now that are going through things completely separate from this crisis, whether it's anticipating surgery, whether it's things going on at home, whether it's things going on in their life at work, or if they're going through time when they might not have work because of this crisis. I just pray for them that they'll know that you're still with them in this, that you haven't left us, that you're still here. I pray for all of the good things that you give us. I pray for the opportunities that you'll have to teach us in this crisis, to rely on you, that we'll take this time with our families and enjoy it and treasure it and think of it as a good time and not a time that's a burden, but a time that you've given us to be with our families and reflect on things that you've given us that we need, and not focus so much on the things that we'd like to be different, that just have us be present in this moment. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for this time we can be together in spirit. And we just pray over our service today, and that you'll just give Pastor Don the words to say. In your name, amen.
can satisfy my soul like you. And who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful, true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything, my rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. Living water, rain down your life on me, cleansing me, refreshing me with life abundantly. River full of life, I'll go where you lead. I will trust in you. Trust in you, my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior.
Aren't you glad that God is still on the throne? I want to invite you to open up your Bibles today to Psalm 121. While you're finding your place there, just let me say that at the outset that our church staff and deacon leadership have really been working hard this week and praying hard this week over how to bring this message to you, our worship service to you, and to keep us in contact with you throughout the week. And we just appreciate all that they've done. Churches all over America, of course, are doing their very, very best to provide worship services through means like this. And, of course, this is a new experience for us here at College Street. And while I'm filling the pulpit as supply preacher, I just consider it a privilege to be part of this, and thank you for it. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open them to Psalm 121. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 3. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we still have the opportunity to come and worship in this setting and to be able to share this worship time with our church family. And we just ask your blessings upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, during this coronavirus crisis, God's people should do all they can to abide in and stay with the Lord and just worshiping Him and being part of Him, and of course using what God has given you to reach out to others in the community and help. We hear a lot of advice from our elected officials and the local governments, all the way up to the national government as well. And we are hearing a lot of unfamiliar terms being used. But one term that has gotten my attention this past week is that term shelter in place. Now, many of you know that that means to stay at home, if that's at all possible. So I'm entitling my message this morning, Sheltering in Place. So I think about that advice. As I think about that advice, I am reminded of several stories from the Bible that I want to share with you this morning, because there were people in the Bible, people of God, who just did just that. They sheltered in place, so to speak, during a time of crisis. I think back in Exodus chapter 12, where we see God's people sheltering in place during the last plague that came to Egypt because of Pharaoh's rebellion. God had a plan, and he told the people to shelter there, and he told them to put the blood above their door and the lintels and above on the doorpost. And they called it the Lord's Passover. They had waited on God through a crisis. Then if you fast forward in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 22, David the shepherd boy had been anointed the next king over Israel because Saul, the current king, had rebelled against God. Saul later became jealous of David, and he put a bounty out on his head, and he hunted him like a wild dog. And in 1 Samuel 22, we read where it says, "So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam." It looks like David decided to shelter in place and to seek God's help in his personal crises. And then we look into the New Testament book of Matthew, and we read there that after the birth of Jesus, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, that is, Jesus' earthly father, and he said to him, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you." So they were sheltering in place, so to speak, and they remained there until it was safe for them to come out, and God sent them word, "You may come out." So they were waiting on God through their crises. Go further into the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 1. After the ascension of Jesus Christ back into heaven, the apostles and other followers of Jesus, amounting to around 120 of them all together, they secluded themselves in the upper room and they devoted themselves to prayer and to fellowship. In a way, you might say that they were sheltering in place during a crisis in all of their lives, but most of all, a crisis in the newborn church. They were waiting on God through the crisis. Now, I'm sure you can think of so many other stories in the Bible of individuals and families and groups that have been sheltering in place while they waited out the crises and sought God's leading. In Psalm 38:15, the psalmist writes here, "For I hope in you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God." The psalmist trusted in God to always be there, just as Ray sang, "You're on the throne. We can trust in you because you are there." But what can we do when we are sheltering in place here in America? What can we do with our families? What can we do as a church family when we are sheltering in place? Well, that's the question that I began to ask myself last week as I heard the news reports, and I began to think about that and pray about that and keep up on the news events, but also, more importantly, began seeking answers from God. So this is what I believe that we can do. First of all, I believe we can look to the Lord God for wisdom. When David, Solomon's son, became king, God appeared to him in the night, and he said, "Ask of me whatever you will, and I will do it." Solomon said to God, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge." That's what you and I can do. We can ask God for that. That's what the people of the Old Testament did, as well as the followers of Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament. They looked to God for what to do. You see, God is the ultimate truth, and in seeking that truth, we find wisdom. That truth is, for us, is found in reading the Bible, God's Word, and in listening to God through prayer and through counsel and other things. But it's not listening to the world's opinions, but it's listening to God, the truth. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me." And one of my other favorite New Testament scriptures is written by the Apostle Paul, where he writes, "God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And he wrote that to young Timothy, one of his proteges. So you see, God will give you a sound mind in dealing with the crisis if you yield to his power and seek to live for him and to love him and love others. But then secondly, what else should we do when we are sheltering in place? We should look to God in prayer. Now, we've already touched on that some, but like the disciples in the upper room, we are to be in prayer continually. The Apostle Paul reminds us to pray about everything. Now, nothing is too small for us to pray to God about. And this is a great opportunity for us to spend quality time in prayer. And that's what I have been experiencing in my own life this week. For when we are praying, we are also fellowshipping with the Lord God. And that, my friend, is worship as well. Worship on a daily basis. Thirdly, I think we need to look to those in authority and government, be they elected or appointed. Look to those who are in places of responsibility, whether it be in our local government or state government, county, and all the way, but look to them for the very, very best advice. A word of caution here for sure. Use godly wisdom about the information you receive and all the input that you receive, especially if you have a tendency to watch the talking heads on TV or the internet. There are many opinions out there. Thirdly, let me say, what else we could do? We can look to our own health. I say that because God created us and he wants us to take care of our bodies. In Psalm 139 we read, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." Listen to those who are medical experts and do all that you can to stay healthy. I just saw where in another state that a church, apparently a congregation, did not listen to the medical advice that was given, and now 40 of its members are in quarantine. So we need to listen to the medical experts, but also we need to take care of our bodies through exercising and eating right and getting plenty of rest. And you know all of these things, but take care of your body because the scriptures tell us that our body is the temple of God. And then fifthly and lastly, look to be the church. Look to be the church. This is a wonderful opportunity. We've been challenged to do this by our director of missions, David Shirley. We've been challenged to do this by so many other people. Because we're not, just because we're not inside the walls this Sunday morning like we were last Sunday morning, and I look out there and I see, where people usually sit, and I'm looking for them and they aren't there this morning. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we're out there to be the church. I was so blessed this past week to read an email from Susan, one of our members, who early in this week sent an email to our office and asked that it be spread around that anybody who is in need, anybody in our church family or others beyond that, that just let her know and she will try to meet that need. Well, you see, folks, that's being the church, right where we are. Throughout the New Testament, you will read stories of people sharing and helping others. That's what Jesus called us to be. He called you and I to be light, salt and light in a world making a difference, pushing back the darkness. So even though our church campus is closed for many ministries at this time, as Lauren has already shared with you, our food bank ministry is going to be there to continue to meet those needs in the community, if at all possible. Our church office will still be open, and we want you to feel free to contact the church office and let them know if there's a need that you have that we can meet, any of us can meet. And as has been mentioned also, we're again asking all of our Sunday school leaders to contact those people on your Sunday school roll and the deacons to contact those families within the coming week and see if there's any needs. This is right out of the book of the New Testament, the book of Acts. Because the local body of believers needs to be the church. That's who they were. Another term that we're hearing used a lot is that we are to be social distancing. Well, that doesn't mean that we cannot stay spiritually connected. And we can do that in so many ways, particularly in the society we have today with all the social media. But as we are worshiping today with you via this way, let us not forget that giving our tithes and offerings is an act of worship as well. Now, we're not going to be taking an offering right here in this place right now amongst the few of us that are here. But let me assure you that the expenses of the church continue to go on just as in your personal and in your family budgets. But with the blessings that God has given us throughout the week, we ought to be able, the Bible tells us to bless Him back with our tithes and offerings on a regular basis. So we want to be obedient to that. So even though we're not here physically, many of you, then I want to encourage you to continue your worship this coming week by being obedient. By bringing your tithes and offerings or mailing them in or going online, as Lauren has already mentioned. But I want to say that to you, not just for us locally, but in our church, in our denomination, what many people may not realize is that a part of everything we put into the offering plate goes to help support thousands of missionaries we have overseas, some 5,000, I believe it is now. But also in our homeland, and they depend upon our faithfulness in giving every week so they can be supported monthly. So as one act of your worship this coming week, I pray that you will follow through and continue your worship by bringing your tithes and offerings to the Lord. So in conclusion, God's people in the nations, all over the world, really, have gone through crisis before. And we must never forget to always look to them because He cares for us. I was watching a TV news show this past week and they were interviewing an American missionary to Italy. And this is what that missionary said. We must choose peace over panic. We must choose faith over fear and not forget to show kindness in all that we do. Through a very, very dark time in Judah's history, after their very good king Josiah died, it was a time of anxiety and distress. And the prophet Habakkuk wrote these wonderful words of faith. He said, "The righteous shall live by faith." And then in the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, he concluded with a prayer as a psalm of worship. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful assurance. But in concluding this morning, I want to say to you, if you have never known the salvation that God offers through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Let me invite you to ask Christ into your life today. You do that, first of all, by admitting to God that you are a sinner and that you need his forgiveness. Secondly, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thirdly, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior by inviting him into your heart. That's what we call the ABCs of salvation. Very, very simple. But when you do that, he can bring you peace in your heart in these times. Would you join me in prayer and ask Christ into your heart as I lead you? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can share this message that you've laid upon my heart and the music, dear God, that you've laid upon the heart of our musicians. I thank you, dear God, that you love us so much, that this pandemic has not caught you by surprise, but yet we know that you can use it because your scriptures tell us you can. You can use all things to bring glory to you. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are listening today, watching, that if they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would right now just bow their head and confess to you their sins and just admit that they're a sinner. And then, dear Lord, that they would just believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son and you sent him to die on the cross for their sins. And then I pray that they would confess Jesus now as their Lord and Savior because he has come into their lives. And I ask this in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to say this. If you have asked Christ into your heart as a result of hearing this message today, please contact our church office and just let us know that, and we'll make some contact with you this coming week to talk with you in some way. God bless you. Thank you. Brother Ray.
Normally, I would invite you to stand. But if you'd like to stand at home or wherever you are, stand. We're going to sing the first verse of Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Pray. Now may God's grace and his mercy go with you this week as you depart and shelter in place, but yet still reaching out to others in love and with very practical help that you can give. For it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.